Okay, some of us apparently have experienced that. You know, as you get ready to do things for God, chaos breaks out. I know personally, you know, if you have a family, if you have children, maybe if you just have a spouse, I don't know your spouse, but you know, Sunday mornings can be sometimes the most chaotic time of all. You get ready, you know, you want to have a nice attitude of worship, and the whole time you're coming up in the car, it's like World War III is going on, and the kids are doing that, and somebody forgot this, and a car isn't acting right. You know, maybe you're just like feeling out of sorts, and you got kind of a little chip on your shoulder, and somebody says a little word of, you know, to them, humorous criticism, and you know, you just like bite their head off or something, and bless them in the Lord. God bless you, brother. Thank you guys for making this past, Wednesday, the surprise party for Missy's 50th birthday. That was wonderful. You guys are saints, man. You are true friends. It was beautiful. We had a wonderful time. I was delighted we could do that for her, express our love for her, affirm her, to show gratitude for all the times that we've had together and gratitude for all the times we're going to have together in the future. You know, when you affirm somebody like that in love, that's a work of God. I mean, that's what God calls us to do, to build each other up, to appreciate each other, to love one another. I mean, that's what the body of Christ is all about. That's been His purpose from the beginning. But I noticed as we were about to do that good work, as the time drew near, chaos started to break out. My car's had some problems for a while. That's no big deal. But all of a sudden on that morning, it was worse than it has ever been. I mean, I didn't think I'd ever get out of the post office. I'm sitting here, you know, and the car's giving me problems. Things got hectic during the day. And as the time was coming up for the party to take place, I started getting these weird phone calls. I kid you not. Now I get weird phone calls anyway. You ought to hear some of the calls I get. But, you know, these were like weirder than weird. These were just out of left field. And some of them were legit. But as the time drew closer and we were frantic to try to get everything ready in time because it was a surprise party, I had to bring her here at 7 o'clock. We had to have everything in place. As we were beginning to really have to hustle, these bizarre phone calls kept coming in one after the other. It just was blowing my mind. I mean, weird stuff. People, like, you know, they just, you know, one woman wanted to tell me that there was Wicca going on in the high schools. And, you know, you really just got to keep that in mind and pray for them. I'm like, thank you. Yes, I'll make a note of it. We'll put it on the prayer list. Thank you very much. I mean, you know, why now? Okay, that's legit, but why now? I mean, just call after call like this. And I said, you know what? If the phone rings one more time and it's a strange call, that's it. I'm not answering it anymore. The phone rang. It was off the wall. I hung up and I said, that's it. I'm not answering it anymore. 5 minutes later, phone rings again. I said, that's it. I'm not doing it. And I just let it go because I knew at that point, it was almost like a fleece. I knew at that point it was Satan just trying to run interference. He wanted to put a wrench. I mean, this is just a small thing that we did to express our love and affection for Missy. But even at that level, he wanted to put a wrench in the works and get things chaotic. If he figures if he can't stop it completely, at least if he can get you working in the flesh, get you operating in the wrong sense of mind so you're not walking in the Holy Spirit anymore. You're walking in your own carnal flesh, your own, you know, human limitations and fallacies. Then he's done his job. He's a success. And so he doesn't care which way it goes. He just wants to do his job. A few days later, I was talking to a dear friend who expressed her dismay at the trouble she's been having in getting to church lately. She loves to come to church, but it seems like, you know, after she had missed a few times, it just became harder and harder. Every time she would get ready to go to church, stuff would happen. That somebody would cop an attitude, or something would break down, or somebody needed something over here. She needed to be some other place. And as hard as she fought to get in here, it was like, she said, I felt like I was literally fighting against something. And I was like, you know what? You were fighting against something. That's real. That's what happens. you know, bizarre circumstances just come up. And we are fools if we do not recognize the reality of spiritual warfare. Scripture is explicit that this stuff goes on. Cover to cover, you see it happening in Scripture. And we are foolish if we do not recognize that reality and prepare ourselves with how to deal with those kinds of things when we run into them. Satan will have us sidetracked to death. You know, Scripture talks about principalities and powers that strategize against God's people. In Ephesians, I believe it's 6, it talks about, you know, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. That Old English term wiles refers to strategies and schemes. He is a scheming, conniving, thoughtful, shrewd enemy. And so we have to be on guard. And when I say Satan, I mean, you know, whether it's he himself or his thousands, possibly millions of demonic spirits that he delegates his power to, that are roaming about the earth under his control. They do all kinds of things to oppose the work of God. They can work through people. They can manipulate their actions. If they're not walking in the Holy Spirit, if they're walking in the flesh, they can be manipulated by the enemy to do all kinds of havoc. They can manipulate your feelings and emotions. Sometimes you might be sitting there for no apparent reason. You just get this fear inside of you. And okay, maybe it's biologically a legitimate panic attack, but sometimes it's just an unrational fear. Sometimes you get a feeling of depression come over you. And you're not even a woman. You know, you're just like... I got to watch this stuff, man. I get myself in a mess of trouble. But seriously, you know, it's not estrogen. You know, you're a guy and you just, this depression comes on you. You know, it's just, or something comes over you. Maybe just in that, maybe you just wake up one morning for no good reason. You are just mad at the world. You just got an attitude, man. Don't mess with me. I've been driving to work before and said, God, you know, I know work is a godly thing. I want to go to work. I want to do a good job. But, you know, frankly, I just don't feel like talking to anybody today. Which is bad if you're a claims adjuster because you live with the phone growing out of your ear. And I'm just like, man, you know, if I can just let me do paperwork. I don't care. I don't want to talk to anybody. Where in the world did that come from? You know, maybe that is the enemy provoking my spirit, getting me, you know, in a bad frame of mind. They can attack your physical health. They can literally attack your physical health. They can attack your spiritual health. They can attack your emotions. I believe they can even affect things like electrical and mechanical things. I mean, you look in the book of Job when God told Satan, okay, you know, everything he has is in your power, but spare his life. You saw that all of a sudden winds came and blew down the house that his sons and daughters were partying in, and it came down and killed them all, and only one servant was left to go tell Job the bad news. Those demonic spirits under the control of Satan, perhaps Satan himself, brought those winds and destroyed that house and brought it down on those people. I mean, after all, demons are fallen angels, and angels are able to do those things. Not to scare you or anything. I mean, absolutely not. That's not the point of this message. But there is a reality of spiritual warfare, and people die, people perish every day as a result of that. But thank God, if you are a child of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, you have a covenant with God. You do not have to be afraid of the enemy. You don't have to be afraid of his demon host or his principalities and powers. You don't have to be afraid of the people that they control or manipulate. They have no authority over you. And Scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. If you are a born-again child of God, you have God living inside of you, the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And the enemy cannot touch you without God's explicit permission. Amen? So as we continue our study of the book of Acts today, as we go through, we're going to see a graphic example of how this played out in one man's life in the book of Acts. We're going to see a graphic example of spiritual warfare and how things, eternal things, hung in the balance. One man's soul in particular hung in the balance as Satan tried to oppose the work of God. And we're going to see the victory that God provided in that situation. And that victory is ours. God put it there so that we would be encouraged by that, so that we would know that no matter what the enemy throws against us, if we're walking in that power of the Spirit, in the covenant relationship with God, there is no weapon that is formed against us that can prosper. He cannot stop us because God will reign victoriously. So Acts chapter 13, let's go ahead and dive right in. I remember when I was in a band with Doug Fluharty, we used to do youth group lock-ins and parties and stuff. We would go and we would minister the gospel to youth groups. And I knew if we got there and we started setting up the equipment and things started going wrong, a speaker would blow or this thing would go wrong or that thing wouldn't work or something, and just chaos, I knew, man, God is going to do some great stuff tonight because the enemy is fighting as hard as he can to stop it. I knew if Satan was working that hard to stop us, God must be ready to do something. So instead of getting discouraged, I got excited. Praise God. All right, a little bit of background. We're halfway through the book of Acts. Everything that went before was all about God working through the apostles and Peter, the original apostles and Peter, to establish his kingdom, first to the Jews and then to expand. Everything takes a shift at this point, and the focus goes off of Peter and the apostles and onto the apostle Paul. And everything from here on out basically concerns him as its main focus and all the things he did, or all the things God did through him to further and advance his kingdom. So let's take a look at this story. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Lord, I just pray you would anoint your word to our hearts, God. Open our eyes and open our hearts to understand your truth. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul, also named Paul. Thank you.